Coinbase wins in court, and could Bitcoin hit $140,000 by July? Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to be at the forefront of crypto this bull run, make sure you click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Hello, everybody. I am back from New York, having survived that earthquake. And a massive thank you to Gareth for covering me last week and doing an awesome job at it. Okay, on today's episode, we're going to start with a Bitcoin rundown, and there are a lot of stories to cover from this weekend. Then we're going to look at Coinbase's victory in court. The bankrupt crypto lender Genesis has bought $2.1 billion worth of Bitcoin. Paraguay is looking at banning mining. And the CEO of Phantom comes to the defense of Solana amidst a barrage of criticism over failed transactions. So we often see a bit of sideways action over the weekends, but that wasn't true this time. As Dan Crypto Trades wrote on X, not your typical weekend, as prices mostly grinded up the entire weekend instead of just hovering at the same level. He added that, we've seen this kind of price action a few times during our initial move to $70,000 plus, often saw a quick wick after futures reopen back into up only. Now this upward trend comes off the back of last week's persistent overall inflows into the spot Bitcoin ETFs. Apart from Monday last week, which saw $85.7 million worth of overall outflows, Tuesday to Friday saw net positives, including Thursday and Friday, which saw $400 million of inflows between them. Michael Vanderpop, the founder and CEO of the trading firm MN Trading, highlighted the price zone immediately above $69,000 as crucial, saying, if this breaks, we'll likely see a strong continuation toward the all-time highs pre-halving. And honestly, it was mostly positive from other analysts too. The senior analyst at digital asset fund UTXO Management, Dylan LeClaire, explained in an analyst note on the 7th of April that if Bitcoin rises back into the $70,000 to $75,000 price range, which it now has, it will put significant pressure on short positions. LeClaire also said that it was pretty unlikely that we'll revisit $50,000 anytime soon. But I'll end the recap on the most bullish prediction of the lot by the pseudonymous analyst TechDev, who pointed out to their 440,000 followers that Bitcoin has closed two consecutive months above the upper Bollinger Band. Now, I've explained Bollinger Bands before, but for a quick recap, I like what Tom Mitchell Hill wrote in this article, so I'm just going to quote him. In technical analysis, Bollinger Bands are a tool that measure the momentum and volatility of an asset within a certain range. Typically, when prices touch the upper band, it can indicate an overbought signal, while touching the lower band indicates an asset being oversold. So why is Bitcoin closing two consecutive months above the upper Bollinger band bullish? Well, every time Bitcoin has done this in the past, the price has then doubled within 3 months. So that would put Bitcoin at $140,000 by July. I hope I don't need to say this, but there are precisely zero guarantees this will happen, and crypto is an industry that loves to make a fool of you. Still, the analysis is there, make of it what you will. Coinbase is embroiled in a number of important legal battles at present. And when I say important, I mean important for crypto as a whole as much as for Coinbase themselves. So this suit wasn't from the SEC, but rather a class action lawsuit that dates back over 2 years to March 2022. The lawsuit listed 79 tokens that it claimed were securities and that Coinbase selling them were a violation of state and federal law, and that it was that familiar phrase, selling unregistered securities. Now, although the ruling by the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit wasn't entirely in Coinbase's favor, the bulk was. And this included an angle that Coinbase has vigorously defended, that secondary sales of cryptocurrencies on its platform do not violate the Securities Exchange Act. And the court agreed. Paul Gruhl, the chief legal officer at Coinbase, wrote on X, "We appreciate the Second Circuit confirming today what is clear under the federal securities law. There's no private liability for the secondary trading of digital assets on exchanges like Coinbase. Why? Because contracts matter." Now, if like me, you don't have a legal background, that might not be all that clear. So to violate the Exchange Act, there has to be a contract that can be rescinded. The ability to undo a contract and return each party to their original positions is not present in secondary sales of cryptocurrencies on Coinbase. The transactions happen between users with no contract between them and the issuer. Therefore, without a rescindable contract, the court found there was no liability under the Exchange Act for secondary sales. So although that does feel like a win for Coinbase, and most see it that way, the court did determine Coinbase's potential liability under Section 12A1 of the Securities Act for vending unregistered securities, which the plaintiffs saw as a win in holding crypto exchanges accountable. But really, the primary focus here is that the ruling is finally confirmation from the courts that secondary crypto sales aren't securities transactions. I spoke a few weeks ago about Genesis, the bankrupt crypto lender and subsidiary of the digital currency group DCG. Genesis was reportedly behind the spike in Grayscale's ETF outflows as the firm offloaded 36 million shares. Well, the situation has another layer. According to a recent report by Bloomberg, Genesis liquidated 36 million GBTC shares last week, valued at approximately $58.50 per share at the time of sale. And they did this to buy Bitcoin. The total sale came to around $2.1 billion and enabled the purchase of 32,041 Bitcoin on the 2nd of April at a price of $65,685. Genesis will use this Bitcoin in its continued effort to repay creditors. Now, I'm sure upon hearing the price tag they paid for that Bitcoin, you thought exactly what I did. Already, since the purchase, the value of the Bitcoin has increased from $2.1 billion to $2.3 billion at the time of recording, which is 7 a.m. Eastern. And this plays nicely into the notion that Genesis will overpay its creditors. DCG filed a motion in early February this year that stated the bankruptcy plan, in which it said that Genesis is proposing that it pays its customers more than they are legally entitled to. On this recent purchase of Bitcoin, Coinbase said that the funds will likely remain within the crypto ecosystem, contributing to a neutral overall effect in the market. We shall see. Paraguayan lawmakers introduced a draft bill last week that looks to ban crypto mining. The document claims that illegal crypto mining is stealing power and disrupting the country's electricity supply. If the bill is passed, the ban would last 180 days or until new laws are enacted and the national power grid operator can ensure it can supply sufficient energy. The problem is this would also prohibit lawful miners in the region, and according to Hashlab's mining co-founder and chief mining strategist, Geran Mellerud, this could severely impact Paraguay's economy. He told Cointelegraph, banning Bitcoin mining could cost Paraguay more than $200 million a year. Assuming the country has 500 megawatts of legal miners paying 5 cents per kilowatt hour in operating expenses. Mellerud added that crypto mining has provided significant positive contribution to Paraguay's trade balance, which makes sense given it is a small country by population and the 94th largest by GDP. So $200 million per annum isn't to be scoffed at. Paraguay is also a key country for one of the industry's largest mining firms, Marathon Digital Holdings, which started deploying 27 megawatts around the Itaipu hydroelectric power plant last November. So with the halving around 11 days away at this point, this sort of news will be unwanted by mining firms and could see Paraguay hamstring its own economy in the process. Solana has arguably the most tumultuous histories of any of the leading crypto ecosystems, and this has been epitomized by the meme coin frenzy, which has been both a rampant success and a brutal failure for the network. As Gareth covered on Friday, data from June Analytics showed that roughly 75% of non-vote Solana transactions recently have failed. It is said that the majority of these transactions are bots spamming the network. The problem is, it is affecting ordinary human users. That said, many have taken the 75% stat, disregarded the information about it being mostly bots, or didn't look closely enough to know it, and jumped aboard the Solana hate train, which embarks on a round trip every outage. Now, the Phantom Network creator, André Cronier, who is one of the most influential thought leaders in DeFi, has come out in support of Solana And he's not alone. Cronier wrote on X, seeing a lot of I told you so's against Solana because, checks notes, Solana currently has so much demand for block space that they need to optimize some bottlenecks, which also, by the way, is just an engineering hurdle and not a fault of consensus or any critical component. Victim of success. In a similar vein, Santiago Roel Santos wrote on X, my prediction is that devs figure out this spam issue and end up rolling out a novel solution that optimizes fee markets faster and better than most seem to think. This was bound to happen at some point, and it happening sooner is better. Also, this is an issue every high-throughput, low-fee network will face with increasing demand for block space. Growing pains. However, the Solana CEO, Anatoly Yakovenko, did go away to tapering expectations with his frustrations. He wrote, dealing with congestion bugs sucks so much more than total liveness failure. The latter is one and done, the bug is identified and patched and chain continues. The former has to go through the full release and test pipeline. Shipping fast is impossible. So yet again, we find ourselves in this situation where there are so many reasons to be bullish about Solana, and simultaneously so many reasons to be bearish. What do you make of it? Is Solana just experiencing growing pains as it becomes a network to rival Ethereum? Or are these outages and congestion failures too frequent and will ward off important builders from the protocol? Share your thoughts with us on @CoinTelegraph and @RKBags on X or @RKBags on Warpcast. Oh, it's good to be back. And yes, as you just heard, I am now on Warpcast and I don't really know who to follow. So if you're on there, ping me. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.